Mr. Frank Cifuentes, I'm going to read another story about a Mexican immigrant. One of my most consistent commitments in terms of social issues has been Mexican immigration, basically ever since the late 50s, really. Every 10 years, you can see there's a lot of recycling going on in terms of the immigration service and the general population that can get stirred up and about immigration issues, especially if they're from Mexico, because it happens to be right next door. And I really believe it's extremely important for gente Chicana Latina to stay in contact with the issues, to have knowledge about what I would call the soul of Mexican immigrants, and which, as anyone can see, is a really vast focus. There are three examples of Mexican immigration that involves Mexican women who immigrated in the early part of the 20th century from 1900 clear up to the 30s, which actually abruptly ended in the 30s. And I will continue to draw from the 72 interviews of Mexican immigrants in a book published in 1969, Emigrante Mexicano, by Dr. Manuel Gamio, who was probably the most respected scholar in the early 20th century. He was an anthropologist, sociologist, and absolutely brilliant. This book, I'll speak about it a lot more. The following are from section 2, pages 186 to 91, titled Algunas Mujeres Inmigrantes. The first one, Elisa Silva. I'm 23 years old and was married in Mazatlan when I was only 17. My husband is employed with a commercial house in Mazatlan, the port. However, he treated me badly, so much that even my mother counseled me to divorce him. After I divorced him, my father died. Therefore, my mother, two sisters, and I decided to go to the United States. They had long been known as having many opportunities for work, especially Los Angeles, such as working in movies as extras and other forms. So we did. We sold everything and everything we had with a small amount of money our father left us. We decided to cross the border. We first entered in Nogales, Arizona. From the moment that we entered, I noticed everything was different, especially the customs. However, I thought that I'd soon get used to it and make the adjustments and adhere to them. When we arrived in Los Angeles, we rented a furnished apartment, and my mother took charge of the household, arranged everything. My sisters and I decided to go and look for work right away. My older sister, who knew how to sew very well, found work right away sewing in the house of a Mexican woman. My mother then decided that I continue looking for work and that my younger sister go to school and get an education. Since I did not know how to sew and had no marketable skills, I decided to go to work at a dance hall. I had to earn money, so I took the suggestion of a lady friend of mine from Sonora, who advised me to go look into it. And after consulting with my mother and sisters, I decided to go to work at this dance hall at nights, naturally. I, of course, didn't like it because I had to dance with anybody who asked me. But finally, I got used to it and no longer cared that I had to dance with strangers because I was earning a living. Generally, I could make $20, $30 a week, of which half is mine. It's convenient because I can earn up to $2.50 a day. Since the dances are short, 10 cents for a turn around in the dance hall, I can dance up to 50 turns and actually can do as many as 100 on weekends. And some of the men give me a dollar or two. Considering that I cannot speak English, it's a convenient kind of job, even though it's very hard, especially on Saturdays when a lot of the men come and dance all night. In Mexico, this kind of work is not considered respectable, but it doesn't bother me at all, though it is true that many of the men make propositions that are insulting. However, all one has to do is say no. If they get insistent, the hall dance hall managers call the police and they escort them out. One Mexican got romantic with me and ended up deceiving me. Since then, it has not occurred to me. It has not occurred again. The work is actually not appealing at all, and there are other ways compared to Mexico. It's not terrible, although over there in Mexico, people are amiable and unlike those here. In our country, people are less ambitious for money. I really would never like living the way they do here. What makes it worse is that I do not speak English and do not believe that it would be easy to learn. Therefore, I don't believe that I can ever become adjusted here. I do not have time to learn English, nor do I like it. It's true, my life is easier here because one can buy a lot of things on credit and cheaper than in Mexico. But I really can't say I know all that I do not like about the United States. My younger sister, who is in school studying commercial English, likes the city a lot, and the United States in general. She says that if we have to go back to Mazatlan, she would stay here working. She plans to learn typing and stenography in English and in Spanish, and work for a plant in North America that pays well. With respect to food, I do not suffer, because our mother makes it as if we were in Mexico, with small differences on some plates. We generally eat Mexican style, so that rice and beans are always on the table. I'm Catholic, but never go to church on Sundays. Sometimes I go to church and pray alone before going to the dance hall. My mother is a devout Catholic, and so are my sisters. They go to church every Sunday. In our house, we have a large picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and my sisters pray in front of it often. I do not think of ever getting married again because I'm so disillusioned with men. However, if I find someone who really loves me, I'll also love him a lot in return. But it would have to be with a Mexican. North Americans are zany, stupid. They let women boss them around. Nevertheless, I would prefer to marry one rather than to marry a pocho.